in some way. Service to him in this holy place for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada's legacy and for all the Vaishnavas in the world, present and future to come. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Anjana Salakaya Chaksura Nihitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tati Svapadandikam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Te Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Pandu Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Karshan Venum Svanayur Gopi Gopinatha Sriyeshtha. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the verse. Tapta Kanchana Gurambi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rika Banu Sute Devi Ganamavi Hari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So the first time that I entered these rooms was in the fall of 1971, and in 1970. We arrived in India on October 4th, 1970 in Mumbai, and our party was there for about 2 weeks. And then Srila Prabhupada took us to Amritsar, to the Vedanta Satsang Samela. And we remained in Amritsar at a Pandal program for some days, maybe a week. Then we got on the Punjab Mail, and on route between Amritsar and coming back down to Mumbai, just before the Delhi station, Srila Prabhupada called my husband in his car and said he'd received a telegram. One gentleman that he wanted to start a center in Delhi. So Srila Prabhupada said, you and Yamuna go and you pick 3 men. So Gurudas picked Giriraj Brahmachari and Gopal Brahmachari and Banu Brahmachari. His name was Bruce then, Dr. Bruce. And so we got down in Delhi, and we were brought to a dharamshala at Delhi Gate, just above Delhi Gate, going to Old Delhi, by the Red Fort and Shanti Chowk. This is the Muslim part of Delhi. And we had been in that dharamshala for some short time when we received a letter from Srila Prabhupada. It was a packet, actually. And a registered packet by mail to Delhi Dharamshala. And in it, it gave instructions that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to go to Vrindavan and to his rooms at Radha Damodar Temple and to clean those rooms out. And the specific instructions were to burn all of the papers that were in a particular trunk in Srila Prabhupada's kitchen. There were two trunks in his rooms, we later found out. One was sitting right beneath this little window here, just like a steamer trunk, big trunk, and one in his kitchen. And so we were all of us were in just a tremendous state of excitement that finally we would go to Vrindavan, buy a ticket to Vrindavan, by the mercy of the spiritual master, be allowed to enter into some small service for Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. So historically, at that time, you know that Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan in 1967 after his heart attack and recuperation in Stinson Beach. And he brought, actually there were two that came, and Kirtanananda got sannyas that Janmashtami of 67 in Vrindavan. And he had one Ramanuja Brahmacharya from San Francisco, and one Brahmacharya from New York, Achyutananda. So after that 67, those two boys were left behind and they lived in this room. So when we came to Vrindavan, we entered this door first. Now, this was a very different looking temple in those days. And I really think you should scour the archives, ask Ranjit Prabhu for photos. Now, I didn't know really what capacity I might be able to render some service to you all in this project, but it so happens that I collected a few photos from those days for writing purpose. So we didn't take photos when we entered the rooms, but I called Giriraj Swami we talked about a day before I left for India, and I told him this was the project and I asked that I might be involved in, and I asked him for his recollections of when he entered these rooms. And they were very similar to mine. So if you could close your eyes now and imagine no electricity, you open that door. And there's a steamer trunk over there in the corner. And over here is a round wooden platform, not square with a cushion, it's round, and a round back. And there were two soda pop cans on the floor, one sitting up and one fallen over, partly squashed. And all those surfaces were covered with a good inch to an inch and a half of Vrindavan dust and sand. Because as you know, these doors have little holes in them. And here we have carved sandstone on the outside and those little wooden shutters. And so Vrindavan in the loose season, in the windy season, all the dust comes into these little crevices. So from 1967 until the fall of 1970 in November, it must have been in November, somewhere in November, that we came to the room. So all these surfaces were covered. And it reminded me of a moonscape, or what I thought was a moonscape. It's very surreal looking. And Vrindavan sand, as you know, in Raman Reti, has little flicks of formica and glistening things in it, and it's a little bit flaky. But what was in this room was very, very, very fine, dusty sand of Raman Reti, of Seva Kunj, because now so much of Seva Kunj is covered in concrete. I think every year it must increase the concrete, and Vrindavan or the school services. But in those days, all the paths were dirt. This entire parikram was dirt. There was no stone, except for at the samadhi of Jiva Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Srila Prabhupada's floor at that time, well, we haven't gotten to that. So our first job was to clean and remove the dust. So we went to the market and got some buckets, some metal buckets. And we wrapped our clothes around our head, and so we just have our eyes shut. And we started removing cup after cup in the bucket. And the dust was flying in the air. You almost couldn't see each other. So we took that dirt out of this door. I haven't gone out yet, but if it's the same that it was, when you walk out of here, there'll be a stairway going upstairs and a little bathroom that had just been installed in the corner. Then the door going outside where they were distributing prasadam. Then to our left will be a little door that goes to a kind of courtyard. Dirt. So we brought the dirt to the court. We did that to both of the rooms, both the kitchen and this room. And that took some quite long time. And then, because these boys, Ramanuja and Achyutananda, had been in the room after Srila Prabhupada, there was kind of a layer of their presence here. Sweaters and the soda pop cans. And then Srila Prabhupada's trunks were unlocked, so we opened the trunks, and inside of the trunks were Srila Prabhupada's a bhagabandhi in cotton, quilted, little quilted bhagabandhi in saffron. And the miskis had eaten the holes. And there was a cheddar, a heavy gray cheddar. And it had started to disintegrate, and when we picked it up, it just almost fell apart, the cheddar. So in the trunk was Srila Prabhupada's some personal belongings in this room. And the walls were, I don't know if they were cement or if they were original stone, maybe some limestone wash on it. You know that old limestone wash. So that was flaking off all around, just coming off in patches. The atmosphere at the temple there was very, very peaceful. It was so different physically when you came in the main gate. As I said, it was all dirt. And over there, where there's a little shop now of paraphernalia and books, that was a little tiny cave-like room with a door even shorter than this one. And that's where the widow Sarojini lived. I think you've heard stories about her. Widow Sarojini, she was allowed to make Prabhupada's fires sometimes, his chula, mud stone fires, and she used to go every morning with a bucket to Jamuna and fill it and bring it to the pujaris for the service for the Kamadha. At that time, the temple was divided in half between two Sevai families. One was Gorachand Goswami, and he lived, if you took the gate entrance here and split it down the middle, that half of the temple, both upstairs and downstairs, was Gorachand Goswami's half of the temple. On this side was Madan Mohan Goswami's side of the temple. And they had been in litigation in the courts, but I said, for 40 years over the terms for worship of the Arch of Abraham here at Pranadamata. So Pancho, I just talked to him this morning, young Pancho, he was my age. So when I came here first, I was 28 years old, and Pancho was 27, and his father used to holler, Pancho! And he would run, and he would assist his father. Madan Mohan Goswami, he lived in Jaipur, and at that time, the worship in the temple was divided between two 6-month period, 1 6-month period when Madan Mohan would do worship, second 6-month period, Gaurachand Goswami was doing worship. So it was very quiet, Radha-Damodar compound, and the widow was there, maybe one or two dogs. Very peaceful when you opened this door, except for Kartik. Kartik, everyone comes to Vrindavan. So our first time was only 2 days here, just to clean the rooms and dust problems. But I can remember after we got the dust out, we then got buckets of water from the well outside, and we cleaned through buckets all over the walls and all over the floors and cleaned them nicely with some drums. And then we sat in these rooms and we chanted around, just like we did this morning before we began. And then we had kirtan, and then we all were like praying. Again, there were more shapes in there. The niches all had little things in it. There was another round wooden chair. And I think the shutter and the window that overlooks this body was split. So there was more dust in there. One thing, Srila Prabhupada gave instructions that with these papers that we were to clean out, they were to be burned. Interestingly enough, he said they should be burned. So, Hare Krishna. So we did the same thing, we cleaned out those rooms and wash them. And there's one picture that Gurdas took that day of that room when it had just been cleaned and washed, the floor was still wet. So that would be a good picture historically to have. It was a picture from the kitchen side looking to the seating side. There really wasn't anything there. But, you know, in the niches we found Hare Prabhupada's glasses, I recall. There was a little kerosene stove. As you may know, it was 1964 before we got electricity here in Vrindavan. So we're talking about 1970 fall. So it, Prabhupada was really right at the beginning of the electric. So there was two electric light bulbs, I believe. We didn't have them around like you do now. There was a light bulb hanging there and a light bulb hanging here, and Prabhupada had a fan installed. So that was rather revolutionary to be modern and have a fan. Because, you know, he was progressive in that way. And in the kitchen there was an old man. And so we burned the papers, but I was asking you, Rashwami, what he remembers, and there were some things that weren't burned, interestingly enough. My husband was a collector, and he did not burn all those papers. So there was a ledger where Srila Prabhupada had written down in those days that things used to cost paisa instead of rupees, even annas. Now I think there's not so many annas. But he would write down how many annas he spent for postage or dood or cow dung. He was methodical in his recording his expenditures and his collection. That was there. There was one conference he was invited to in Japan, and he never got to that conference, but he had done a synopsis of a presentation, and that was in the trunk, so I remember that. Then there were even, you know, posters from his shop in Alanghan, his chemical shop. Sometimes call that his drug shop. And Day Pharmaceuticals or something like that. And they even had some bottles with Prabhupada's medicines in it. Or some of that. So in that way, the first day, that was the first entrance to his Western disciples, aside from these first three, to have entered this realm of the spiritual world of the Goswamis and our founder Acharya. So then when that was done, we reported to Srila Prabhupada and returned to our host. Delegate and several other things that fall indoor and Surat and such. Then January we're at Magh Mela, and really a whole year goes by, 1971. And it isn't until 71 December we have our first Delhi Pandal. And beautiful deities that are now as Radha Gopalananda were officially installed at the first Delhi Pandal. And that was through the worship of a small set of Archavigraha, which Srila Prabhupada called Yamuna's deities. And Yadavara Prabhu bought this set of deities in Loy Bazaar for me. And so I told Prabhupada I had got them, so he said, you can bring them. And we'll put them on the altar with the Delhi, with these deities. Then that day of that the pandal started, I kind of fell into a coma. I got jaundice, and so I was a little unconscious through the Delhi pandal. I lived in a closet. And that space is a little blurry, but at the end of the Delhi pandal, Chiradakshai Vishnu was elder to most of us. He's passed now, but he had an ashram, I think you all know, here in Vrindavan. And he was from England. We met him in 69. Became a life member and a pious family. So Prabhupada called him to India because he didn't have so many Indian disciples to help. So he went down in India. And he arranged for a program here in Delhi and in Vrindavan. And we stayed at a place called Saraf Bhavan at the crossroads, which is now just the entrance, which was then Jatikara Road, now Bhaktivedanta Swami Mark. So I was looking for that landmark, and that building also has completely changed. But at any rate, I was just coming out of the coma from this jaundice then, very unconscious. And so the first time I came to Vrindavan with Prabhupada, there was a bus and one ambassador car coming to Vrindavan. And I remember Tamal Krishna Goswami and Bhavananda. And there were maybe two others that wanted to ride in the car with Prabhupada. So I was getting in the bus, and Prabhupada ordered two men out of the car. Said, "She comes in here." And they were so upset, of course. She must come in the car. So we rode into, that was the first time, rode into, entered Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. And we were at Saraf Bhavan, and many things happened there. It was at Saraf Bhavan that Srila Prabhupada had a very historic meeting with three of his godbrothers present, Obio Kapoor, Krishna Das Babaji, and one man from Brahmakund. I don't remember his name. So those three godbrothers, then he called for Madan Mohan Goswami, and he called for Gorjan Goswami to come to Saraf Bhavan. And that was a very magical, mystical kind of arrangement where somehow or another Srila Prabhupada got permission for some disciples to come to Vrindavan and stay in the rooms upstairs, these rooms. That means on Madan Mohan Goswami's side of the temple. Because in those days Srila Prabhupada was paying 5 rupees per month to Gorjan Goswami. And he's on the other side, right? But he was paying him to stay in his rooms. This was rather monumental to be able to get now another Goswami to agree to let his Mlecha disciples go upstairs. That was done at this time, and in the course of our stay there at Saraf Bhavan, there was either one or two nights, interestingly enough, a Pancham, who I didn't know was so conscious of things, or maybe he studied, but he remembered that. He remembered me, you know, as the first white lady in Vrindavan, which I was a little surprised. And then he remembered actually Prabhupada coming in 71. Shamsundar and Arjuna and Srutakirti were allowed to come with him. And he was going to spend a night there. So I told that story in Mumbai a fortnight ago where I was in those days intensely desirous of experiencing Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. It must have been from a past life. So, even though I was still recovering from the sickness, I got up at 12:31 in the morning, and I didn't know anything really about Vrindavan. I'd gotten a map from somewhere. In the black of night, I walked from Sarath Bhavan to Madhadamba Temple. And I remember, so this is now the first time I've ever seen Sri Prabhupada in Madhadamba. Under a clear sky and black sky, and there's one light bulb on in here, and those little shutters were just a little ajar, so there was a tiniest little sliver of the light bulb that was falling on the, it wasn't marble then or stone courtyard, it was sandstone like this. And Prabhupada was walking back and forth chanting japa. So it was absolutely quiet. You couldn't hear. It didn't make a beep when I came in the door. And all of a sudden those doors banged open. Jamuna, what are you doing here? So I mean, it absolutely, he could, I didn't know how he could possibly know I was here. And I said, walked. And he became very angry. He said, that is a very foolish thing to do. He said, in Vrindavan, this is not to be done. He said, there are so many gundas here. They will slit your throat if they see a little glimmer of a brass lota. And I said, well, I don't have a lota. I don't have a lota. He says, anyway, you shouldn't have done. I said, well, I wanted to come. Then I'll never mind, you have come, you can chant. So I sat outside and chanted my rounds. And so that was like the first time I was and it was a no facilities zone whatsoever. I think somebody arranged, a life member arranged for a little cotton mat to be put on the floor over my shoulders. There's no bed. It was, I think the first time we had one of the poorest quality, you know, the kind of beds that have the sisal rope that's like a hammock. It becomes like
this
a hammock.
Is this
somebody said that some part of it
the change. We got webbing. So there was a bed kind of like this, and it was all saggy. All right. I think we put some kind of a little mattress. Somebody got it. I wouldn't arrange that on that first day. So Prabhupada expressed at that time his great love for these rooms. Now, it wasn't until, I believe, was it the 5th or the 7th of March, which was the cornerstone of 72, so we had just laid a cornerstone in Mayapur. We were coming on Nagar Sankirtan then, from Madras, about 17 in our party, with the Yamuna's deities. And then we went to Vishakhapatnam, and then Kolkata, and then Mayapur. So that's when the cornerstone was laid at Mayapur. Historic moment in the annals of ISKCON, and then there was that miraculous thing of Chirodakshai and the wager and getting the land and all the team. So Srila Prabhupada sent Chirodakshai and Gurudas and Yamuna here to live in Radha Damodar upstairs. And Prabhupada instructed that we, in these rooms, we were to have Srimad Bhagavatam class every morning. Our morning program was to be held down here. Shortly after that, he sent Devananda Swami here. And Chirodakshai canvassed and got two brahmacharis, one from Bengal and one from Punjab. So by April or May, there was Gurdas Yamuna, Chirdakshai president, Gurdas vice president, Yamuna secretary, for our first officers, and then two brahmacharis and Devananda Swami. So we immediately began to desire to renovate Prabhupada's rooms, so that by the time he came in the Kartik of 72 for the Nectar of Devotion, a series of lectures, that Prabhupada would have renovated rooms to stay in. So, you know how in the very beginning, well, you've all served in India for some time now, so. But just imagine there's nothing, there's no support systems, there's no, you don't speak the language, you're just a stranger in a strange land, a transcendental land that your spiritual master has somehow given you some access to. Now, Chiradakshai was a business class, and he had some very clear understanding of how to behave here, but none of us did. Anyway, I was given that job of the renovation of the rooms. So, no, I'm just assisting the servants of the servants. The servants, and just giving some little history. I was thinking last night, without these photographs, I do have some nice photographs that I think will be helpful in both this original stage of seeing the rooms before. There's one conversation where Prabhupada was sitting here talking to a man in saffron, and that was the original rooms. And then there's that time where we washed the rooms. Yes. Well, yes. Yes. So you get some sense here from the kind of, when I say paint peeling off, you can see it, the whitewashing. Yes, he's leaning right against that. There we go. Now that shelf appears to be missing, that one that was there in the corner. You see that? Nice. There's a little shelf over there.
Yeah, in that corner.
Now, it also appears, does that door, is that one solid door there?
Just open the door.
So as you can see here, it was then two pieces, like this door. There was a two-piece to it. And on the outside, yeah, there's screens, that's right. So there's this for reference, and then you'll find that there's in Srila Prabhupada's kitchen that beautiful picture of when we washed the floors. And the room is empty except for just that raw sun. And then we get to the renovation. So I was taking these notes last night. So as you know, at that time we had Nectar of Devotion. And when I first came to Vrindavan, I was very much immersed in trying to study of Nectar of Devotion, because we're in the place of Rupa Goswami. So our room's upstairs, just as Srila Prabhupada's kitchen has a window there, and it overlooks the Samadhi and Bhajan Bhutan of Rupa Goswami. Similarly, up on the roof, we could look down. So the rooms right above were Gurdas and Yamuna's room. That means we each had a cubbyhole about 6 foot or 5 foot by 5 foot with a door that we slept separately in, and then one meeting room. And then on the other side, all the men stayed. So at any rate, I had read the Nectar of Devotion, and where there's a description of Staibhava, 12 kinds of transcendental humors are controlled by different incarnations of God, such as Kapila, Madhava, Mahendra, Nisringa, Nandanandana, Kumara, Kanki, Raghava, Tantridzona, Matsya, NOD, page 280. So, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, informs us that in this Staibhava, there are different colors that match these various personalities. So I found out the colors. I asked Obiang Kapoor what the colors were that matched these persons, and that's how I came to come up with the color scheme for Prabhupada's rules here in Radha-Dhamma. So the lower portion of the room, the floor was redder than I remember. I clearly remember it being a nice reddish sandstone color, you know, like that new temple we passed.
It's the same sandstone.
Like
yeah,
never.
Yes. It's not clean actually, but
it's not so clean. But you know how we just passed that beautiful red sandstone, and I said, "Oh, that looks so beautiful." So that's the color that the floors. If we can, you know, get them sandblasted or something, you know, just to bring it down to that color,
okay,
it would be very nice. Then. Laughter, the symptom of laughter, this is a minor rasa. I believe that's pindhara. Means a yellowish white color.
Oh, I don't know, these are somebody else's glasses. I doubt this is going to be.
Well, by cracky it does. Panda, P-A-N-D-A-R-A, is a yellow white or an ekru color. So when I was in out at MBT land, you know, outside of our buildings there at MBT, it was close to that. And I didn't do it in a gloss, like you have a gloss in this room.
Yeah.
We didn't do gloss.
Is it enamel painting?
Ah, probably for, you know,
cleaning it,
yeah,
glossing.
All those things. But it was in flat. So there was Pindala, and that is represented by Balaram. So the bottom of the, here was this reddish floor, and then there was this lovely ekru color, the color of, kind of very similar to the color in MBT land. Then, about 18 inches down from the ceiling, I painted the color of friendship, which was a reddish brown color that kind of echoed the color of the sandstone. And that is represented by Upendra. So there was a band. Now I must say that at just at the time when I came to paint this, one lady came from England, and her name was Ganga Mayi Devidas. And I met her for the first time. And she was a very cheerful, lovely person. And she was so anxious to help me, and I was so grateful that Krishna sent her to her. So actually the two of us did the painting as well. Then above that, in the mode of parenthood, Sona, S-O-N-A, was a rather deep red color. And that was the Sanskrit Mahamantra, not in English. Bold letters, so I was a calligrapher. But I'll have that fan again because I'm very warm. So we did a stencil of the Mahamantra. Going around a little bit down from the ceiling. And then there was a repeated line of this reddish-brown color. So that's what was here in this room. And that same thing was repeated in the kitchen. We had a new wooden seat made. Then again, you'll see in that original picture that the bottom is round as well as the top being round. It's actually part of circles with the little flat part cut off in the back and a flat part cut off on the bottom. So it actually came up round in the back and round on the front. And that was unfinished wood, very simple. Hare Krishna. And we had a new bed brought in, and that was with webbing. You know, that gives a nice firm cotton webbing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Navar,
then you.
Navar,
yeah. Yes. Big. Yes, Prabhuji.
Navar.
And it was a little bit. We got a little oversized bed. It wasn't really tiny, and it was here. Then, by that time, we had a doll maker from Bengal come, and out in this little courtyard space, that's where the first Krishna Balaram prototype for our temple was made. And it was made of straw and mud. Prabhupada said it was to be in the pose of what was on Krishna Book. So, Srila Prabhupada liked that very much, and that Krishna Balaram went up in this cupboard, in that niche. And behind that, I chose the color of Maturji Ras, which is bluish black, and I did a little stencil behind Krishna and Balaram in there, in that niche. And then that beautiful little Krishna Balaram stood up there. I can't remember, it was a stylized Indian stencil that I got from a book on Indian design. All those kind of things. And for Srila Prabhupada's asana, it was saffron, cotton saffron. And he also had cotton saffron bed covers. And we had somebody bring from the West a duvet, a proper, very soft, lightweight duvet. And we covered that in saffron cloth and pillows. We also had a mosquito net for him in here, and I believe we used bullies, bamboo frame, simple. I don't know if at a later time we might have gotten one that somehow was supported by the ceiling, but I think it was really just bamboo poles that if he wanted to put it up, he could put it up if the mosquitoes were bad. But he didn't have it up all the time. I think it was just were bad. Okay, then we built a little shelf over there. So on the shelf there was a picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There were two jars. Srila Prabhupada was very famous for distributing prasadam. At any given meeting time, wherever anyone came to visit, he insisted prasad was given. So I had two jars. One I filled with Vrindavan Pera in the market, and the other one had been Gali Nimki in it. One salty, one sweet. He had a spittoon. That's where he kept his pen case. He was very particular about his pens and pencils, his tilak. That was right next to his chair. And a little lamp there. I don't recall an almirah with all of his books in it, but I'm not
positive sure. Was that there?
Well, the lamp is kerosene oil or?
No, it was a bona fide electric lamp for reading at night.
What shape?
You know, I think it was just a cheap lamp. Probably, you know, like this. Something along those lines. Because he said this light wasn't bright enough. God commented in the lamp.
And
the
stable,
not as
good as this table.
So, Babuji, in this, you know, I know he had a table in front of him, but I can't remember if it was like this two-tier high. I can't remember that. It's a blank. Maybe we'll be able to get pictures if there was. But he definitely had a table in front of him. So now we're talking about a bed, Krishna Balaram. Now, I haven't also, I've been wanting before I go into Prabhupada's rooms at Krishna Balaram Mandir, I've been wanting to chant. Before I enter into either one of these sacred spaces. But there came a time where there was this, I just don't remember who it was, but they painted a picture of Prabhupada, and I think it's on his walls out in his room. And that was over here, right over here, somewhere. Maybe right above here somewhere. It was a picture of Prabhupada smiling, beautiful picture of Prabhupada smiling. So that was in here. I think it might be in his quarters in Ramanvejiya, Krishna Balaram Mandir. But as I said, I haven't been in those rooms. So I'm not sure if that painting is still there, it's been preserved, or that's my recollection that it was here first. And from his kitchen. Should we go in there? Do you have any questions about this room?
The brown color that you see around the bottom, this was not the way you had done it. The white had gone all the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it was a dark room. This was a dark, it didn't have a lot of ambient daylight. So I thought better to have as much light in here as possible. And in those days, you see, now there's somebody living upstairs. I think a policeman is still living here for many years. He got permission and he never left. So I could leave this door open. So there was a nice cross vent between these two doors. And that brought in light so that even if it was hot in the afternoon, which you know how hot it gets, because this was down, it was much cooler. And with these two doors open, it was little possible. And so he got light from those. But with the walls a light color, it brought, you know, more light in.
Can you ask about the doors? Were the doors light or were they
painted? They were old wood doors. You didn't paint the doors. Yeah, they were just. But I did notice when I went on Parikram around the temple that the kitchen carved, are they called jalas? What are they called? Yeah, the carved
jelly.
Sandstone. What are they called?
Jelly.
Jellies. They were broken. They're broken. So actually, that should be, if but all possible new ones made.
We can do this.
For the kitchen.
Yeah. Here also, this is
that would be very nice.
The stone and red stone.
That would be very nice. In red sandstone or
Just,
you know, Agra sandstone.
What do you recommend in the case of older doors that have been painted repeatedly? Should that be paint be removed?
You know, you can decide whether you want to take the trouble.
You can take
that.
Out the paint.
If it's, you know, if you want to, it would be picturesque to have, but you know, that's up to you. You can decide whether it's of importance to you.
Like, you can remove the paint and put some clear varnish over it.
Maybe it just, it looks ancient this way, huh? We even found upstairs, there were two old sets of doors. They might have been even original some way. But it would be really nice if you can make a double-sided one here, because that was there originally. And I really thought that I also had matching thin cotton cloth for over the doors, like this. Was it a brocade? It was very thin, so that if he wanted privacy, those curtains blew in the breeze. He could leave the screen on. And I just can't remember. I think we had an Elmira in that corner. There wasn't those buckets, so we wouldn't have left those buckets like that showing. And if you have something that you want to, you know, put in storage, you can put in a trunk. If you get a trunk there, right where Ganga is, a nice old steamer trunk.
Yeah.
Then you can even, you know, have Prabhupada's clothes in there. You can make some buckle bundies and shutters and maybe leave it open with a false glass lid. And people can look in and see his clothes. Something like that. It would be nice historically to make it as if Prabhupada can actually come here and sit here and spend a night here.
Photograph of those trunks.
I wish we did. I can't say I've seen that, but I could draw a picture for you. It is a classic steamer trunk. That means it was a little bit tall, you know, and it had a little rounded, you know, rounded lid, you know, with some maybe some binding, metal binding on it or something. It was old. I don't know, maybe it got it.
All tin.
I think it was wood with metal. Now, that might not work because of the elements, maybe termites, I don't know. But I believe that's what both of the trunks were, and they had locks on them.
Can be made, yes.
You can make it, yes.
Yeah, that's no problem.
But just, it would be so nice if it was just as if Prabhupada could come and go and get his clothes out of the trunk and put up his mosquito net if he wants to and just come spend the night here anytime he wants. Because these rooms, I've heard different things. Mahanidhi Maharaj wrote a book and he made a statement. Then I was just reading the other night another statement about, I can't remember where I saw that. Since I've come to Vrindavan, I was reading something where they were speaking about the rooms here, but at least I was personally present in the rooms when Prabhupada said something very close to this effect, that these rooms are the hub of the wheel of the spiritual world. That's what the words he used to be. He may have used different words to others, but he said, they're my eternal residence, and they're the hub of the wheel of the spiritual world. So we can't even imagine the potency of these rooms. Yes,
Prabhupada. This was painted in that same color, this stone also?
You can see in this picture, originally it was a different shade than the whitish walls. But when we did it all one color. The whole lower end of the room until about 18 inches down with that rim, then the Maha Mantra, then another line, and then going up to the ceiling in those colors that I described to you, corresponding with the colors from the Nectar of Devotion symbolic. So I was trying to think of some meaning to the choice of
sandstone?
I'm almost sure we didn't paint the ceiling. I don't remember painting the ceiling because I felt that they would just get dirty. I was thinking that, and look what happens. See, it does happen that they get dirty. So it was a match from this to this. It was kind of this pinkish, brownish sandstone. You know, with a little pinkish color, but mostly classic reddish sandstone. I don't believe we did, although I mean it'd be no harm because it brings more light. I don't recall painting the ceiling.
recall when Srila Prabhupada kept his niches, other than the one that had the new plain deities here, there are a number of niches here in this space as well. Were they housing his personal belongings? Or?
I think we put books on them. I think that's where we put books in his niches.
I think so. But was this always here, this sticking out?
I'm not sure if this was always here, because I would think that would bother Prabhupada's bed, and I don't recall, I don't recall it sticking out. This looks awkward for leaving his head on. But I can't be positive sure. I'm really not positive sure on that. This one is nice. So you could put anything that you want to in these little niches. Even if you want, you could put a little shelf in there and put some books on it. Or I don't know, maybe you'll decide to keep the Elmira, but I would, if I kept the Elmira, I would paint the Elmira the same color as the walls. Right? So it's kind of, and then just put it in that corner.
But the reason that you have the cell, wooden cell?
Yes.
Yes. Next to Prabhupada's chair, you make some shelves.
Yes, there were shelves right here next to his chair. Wooden shelves. Yes. Same material that his sasana was made out of and his table. And it, you can do any color you want.
You're saying it was rough wood.
It wasn't, it didn't have...
color on that.
It wasn't real finished furniture. It was very simple. Square, it wasn't carved, it was plain, it was very plain. Maybe a dark stain on it, I can't remember.
Well, that the wood which comes has that color, dark color.
Yeah, maybe like that, or just, I don't think we didn't paint it, I remember that. And it was somehow from the market.
And there was
that was white.
There were pieces this way.
What, for the shelves?
No, this is a bag. The wood was there, there were planks were in this.
Sideways. I think we're going to see those were sideways pieces of wood.
Sideways.
I even think they were. And then in the back, it was very crude. It was a little...